If you want to succeed more, you also need to be the type of person who wants everybody else involved with you to succeed more as well. And you should be happy giving them more money.
Yes.
And if you're not, then it's probably not the right partnership.
How do you create an unshakable business? I crossed $100 million in net worth by the age of 28. Now I'm growing acquisition.com into a $1 billion portfolio. In this podcast, I share the lessons I've learned in scaling big businesses and helping our portfolio companies do the same. Buckle up and let's build.
So this podcast is speaking to a lot of creators that are rarely good at being CEOs. Hmm. And I could imagine us clipping this because one of the most common, if we actually now kind of focus on creator businesses,
yeah,
creators that had some success on YouTube, they've grown, and then they start getting tired, they start getting burnt out, and they lack the skill set of leadership hiring team. If you're coaching a creator that has that momentum, I think it was Colin and Samir called it an inverted pyramid, that also the creator is the business, right? And so that individual now though, but now they're feeling overwhelmed. They got all this pressure on them. They're trying to keep it up. And we've even seen this recent Matt Pat quit YouTube after one of the biggest YouTubers, another 6 or 7, 4 million subs, 7 million subs, mainly being, I can't keep up this pace. I'm exhausted. And with due respect, they've probably saved millions and they can retire. And maybe it's, some people liken content creation to sports. Maybe you only have, depending on the pace of it, a certain number of years before you wear out. But I don't believe that. I think that you're maybe building wrong, but you don't even have the skill set because you're a creator, but how do you be a CEO? How would you coach somebody through maybe figuring out what they need to put into their life, whether adding skills or adding the right people or partnering in the right ways? If you were coaching a creator that wants longevity and doesn't want to burn out and figure out the next level of building out their ops.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting question because you have to make a decision. Like when you say that, for example, this quote by Kobe Bryant comes up to me, which he talks about most of the players. And he's like, once they get a certain amount of money or they hit a certain amount of fame or whatever it is, they kind of just check out. And he's like, this is going to be, it was some quote like, this is going to be so easy for me because that's not why I do this at all. And so I think for people who resonate with that, like myself, and they're like, I want to acquire the skills because it's not about the money. It's not about the fame. It's not about this. It's actually about, I would say in a really weird way, and this is going to sound interesting, it's about having a different relationship with hard. And so like, I don't need to make content. You know what I mean? Like Alex makes enough content for acquisition.com. I don't need to do it. But for me, it's about doing things that are hard. And so whatever skill I do not have, if I want to acquire it, because I think that it adds to my, I would say like life resume of what I want to be able to do and be capable of and skill set, then that's that. I think that that's a very small percentage of people that want to be able to do a lot of things. Like I look at people like, I mean, an interesting Arnold Schwarzenegger, The Rock, like people are like very good at multiple things, but like those people have a hunger that most people do not have. And I think if somebody has to ask the question, how do I get the skill to do both, you're already because if you have to ask that question, I wake up in the morning, it's not even a thought. I'm just being like, I'm being dead serious right now. Me and Alex, like when we want something, when I want to be good at something, when I want to be exceptional, I don't have to engineer and write down my damn goals. I wake up and it's all I think about. I'm out to win. And so if you don't wake up like determined that you will win no matter what, do not try and do both. And so if you don't have that drive where you wake up every morning and you're like out to kill, then you need to find a partner. Because I do think that to a degree, it's like 1 + 1 = 11. A great partnership can do so much more than like trying to grit your way through getting the skills when you're not really that motivated. And so I would say that that is 100% what I would suggest those people do. I have talked to a lot of really big creators with like, you know, multi 8-figure followings, like celebrity status. And the amount of people who try to take on the business and half-ass it, because it's not what they're about. It's not why they got into this. They didn't get into content to be a business owner. They got into content because they liked making content. And honestly, I think they like the notoriety. They like the fame. They like the feedback from the audience. And that's cool. just do more of that. And so I think that in those instances, they need to focus in on understanding what makes a good partnership. And I think it's incredibly similar to what makes a great marriage. And I can tell you this after observing, like partnering with lots of companies and having like a marriage, having friendships. When I look at a partnership that works well, it is not one person that is more powerful than the other. I actually think those are set up to fail. And I think that what they do is eventually when, if somebody is more powerful than the other person, eventually, especially if this person starts to, it changes the dynamic and then there's resentment. And so the best partnerships, in my opinion, are when two people who are equally powerful in different domains come together and make an agreement to bring their skills to the table. So then it's essentially, if you look at like negotiation, it's you have something I want and you have something I want, and I would like to trade so that we can give it to each other. It's kind of the same as dating. Like say I'm an eight. Where's my eight? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think that's what people have to do, because what I've seen is that, like, for example, I have people who come to us and they're like, hey, I really want a partner. And I'm like, but you're a three. It's just not going to work.
Totally.
And so it's like, people need to understand that are making content. They need to be able to have the self-awareness to diagnose, like, what am I on a scale of 1 to 10? Like, how hot of a girl at the bar am I?
Yeah.
And then, okay, cool. So what's my pool look like over here of people who are in business that I could attract? And I think once you really understand the type of person that you would work well with and that you would have an equitable exchange with, that's when you have the unlock. And then you start going to town and trying to find the person.
If you are already established, let's say you got a million followers, you got a million subscribers, brand new money coming in. Let's say you've got multiple six figures coming in, but you're also, and a partner's coming to you. Is 50-50 outrageous? When they start thinking, I'm going to partner with somebody, I've built this over the last 5 years, 7 years, 10 years. I'm established, but I do need this whole other skill set. For the person listening, what does partner mean? Am I giving them equity? Am I just paying them a lot? When you say partner, are we now coming into this?
I think there's different ways the partnership could look. I would say that it depends on, again, what is equitable? And so how would you value the skills that the person's bringing to the table? And so for somebody who's already making money, I think there's a couple different ways that you could do it. You know, a lot of partnerships, when something's already established, you can just form a new company where you each contribute 50% of your current assets to it. And that creates the 100 of the new thing, right? I tend to say, okay, so ideal scenario is that it is 50-50. Because here's the thing. It's really hard for me when people say, they're like, but I've built it to here, right? Because guess who hears that all day, every day? Me. They're like, but I've built it to 3 million. And I'm like, yes, and I will build it to 100. So one, I don't give a fuck about $1.5 million, dude.
Yeah.
But two, I care about what we're going to make thereafter. And it is fair if it's 50-50. If not, I should own more. You know what I mean? And so I think it's understanding what got you here won't get you there. If you have to give up 50% of a very small number to get 50% of a much bigger, if you have to give up your 50% and trade it of the very small number to take the chance that you might get it of a very big number, maybe it's worth the trade. The reason that I think it doesn't work out most of the time is because this is what people do. They're like, I really need a partner. And because now they're thinking about it, they go to some event and they meet some guy and he's like, dude, we should partner. And then you're like, wow, he's available. Like, if you look at most marriages, how they occur, it's literally like, you're like, I really want to get married. And then the next guy you date, you just are like, yeah, this is him. It's not actually that he's the right person to marry. It's that he's conveniently appeared into your life at the right time. And so a lot of people get into partnerships in business because of timing and because of convenience, not because of any sort of decision-making. And then people say partnerships are bad. And I'm like, well, of course you have, what premise did you make the decision? Can you show me one piece of paper to which you wrote out if this partnership makes sense? Never. Never. Yeah. They can never show me a piece of paper because guess what? They write jack down. And I'm like, when I'm looking at a partnership, I have spreadsheets full of like 10 tabs,
yeah,
15 tabs of decision-making like frameworks to put together like an analysis of, should I partner with this person or not?
Yes. You know? Okay.
And so I think a lot of the times we take an emotional or a, either people don't think at all and they're just like, this is convenient, or they take a very emotional approach that was like, I really like this guy. It's like, okay, well, do you have 50% like him? Is he going to be able to take you to 100 million? Has he ever taken anybody to 100 million? Has he even taken a business to 100 million before? You know, like if I were a creator and I already had income and a business person who has, say, for example, built a business to 100 million before, and I'm making, you know, let's say 400 grand a year off of my content, And this person says, hey, give me 50% and I'll build the business to attach to the content. I do that deal all day. Mm-hmm. Because guess who hasn't taken their content to 10 million views, right? But hey, this business guy thinks that he can help build it to here. Like, sounds like a good deal. And so I think that when you start, you need to stop counting other people's money and start counting yours. And the moment that you count other people's money in a deal, like, well, if I make this much, he's going to make this much off this deal. Yes, and that's the point. Like, if you want to succeed more, you also need to be the type of person who wants everybody else involved with you to succeed more as well. And you should be happy giving them more money. Yes. And if you're not, then it's probably not the right partnership.
Hey guys, if you already don't know by now, I am actually fairly active on LinkedIn. I may go so far as to say it's actually become my favorite platform. So if you'd like to connect with me, just send me a request or hit follow. And shout out those who've been sharing my posts and tagging others.
I think that there's not, it's an interesting because it's like an art and a science, which I think you need to, one, get along with the person well enough that you want to spend time with them, right? But the second piece is you need to understand, like, what's their mission? What are their values? And then the next piece is that, do they have complementary skill set? Which is just like, are they as good at business as you are at content? In my opinion, if they are, that's an equitable trait. The problem is that most people don't spend the time assessing to figure out if that is true. Like, just like I would, if I'm looking into investing in a company and partnering with the CEO, I'm going to run background checks. I'm going to ask to talk to three people as references. I'm going to do a social media sweep. I'm going to do audits on all their financials to make sure it's not BS. If they've claimed that they've made a certain amount of money, I'm going to find a way to verify it. Like, I'm going to go through the whole ringer because it's a partnership. And I want to make sure that what they say is true is true. Just because I don't know, I don't have any evidence to prove it thus far, just their word. Most people just don't do that kind of diligence though. And I think it's just because they say, oh, I don't know how. And I'm like, okay, well, you can Google it and figure out half of it, but or just do what I just said right there.
Is it a good or good idea or bad idea for couples to start a business together?
It doesn't matter about the couple. It doesn't matter if you are a couple or not. I think what's more important is, do you have complementary skill sets? You know, like Alex and I talk about this all the time because we see people who are like in business together and it's awful. It's just like atrocious.
Couples.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And it's just like, it's the law of convenience. They're like, but you're here.
Yeah.
Like, and you'll do what I say.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of times what it is that because somebody doesn't know how to find a good business partner, they say, oh, what if my spouse became my business partner? But that person has 7 years less of experience and no complementary skill sets to you. I mean, I would just look at objectively. If this person was just your friend, would you be like, hey, John, that works at Jimmy John's, like, do you want to be my partner? Even though I've been in business for 7 years, you've been working at Jimmy John's, you don't know how to do anything? It's like,
totally.
Well, he's here.
Yeah.
He's here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like, they just don't know how to find people. And so they just go with whatever's convenient. And I think a lot of people do that with their spouse and then say, cool, now let's get into business together. You have to look at all partnerships the same. Is it an equitable trade? You know, and I think that Alex and I are constantly, and we talk about, is it an equitable trade? And we will make comments at times when, say, the business is more like Layla heavy versus Alex heavy. We'll make little comments back for like, I feel like you're pulling the weight right now. Mm. I need to step it the f*** up, right? Because it's like, normally what happens is there's a stress on one of us and that goes back to a stress on the other. It goes back and forth. And we're always like trying to make sure that we're like, if one of us is leveling up their skill set, the other one is too. And it motivates us to keep doing it together. And so I think for a lot of people that are married, one, never get into business with your spouse out of convenience. It makes no sense. And it's going to set you up for resentment. But say two is, if you're considering going into business with your spouse, write a job description for yourselves. I've never treated our business partnership differently because of our marriage. We treat it as it should be, which is an equitable trade of skills and two people that have the same mission, the same values, but have complementary skill sets. And I think that a lot of people, again, it's just they make the convenience choice and then you end up resenting each other or regretting it a lot later, because a lot of times what happens is they also don't have the communication skills within their marriage to talk about hard stuff. And so then they're like DMing me on Instagram saying like, hey, like my husband's actually really bad at this. Like, what do I do? And I'm like, yeah, well, like that's tough, because if you can't talk about the hard shit, then like, what's going to happen in the business?
Yeah.
You know, and it happens all the time.
How would you recommend someone try to unwind like, what is their steps out if their spouse isn't the right person or the, because his, unfortunately, 33% of people listening to this just were like, oh my gosh, you know, I might have partnered with my spouse out of convenience. Or for creators, this happens a lot. One creator, this, I see, I mean, I could, it's massive. One creator is the talent on camera. And it's maybe natural for the other person to be like the manager, manage emails, brand deals or whatever.
Yeah.
So it happens kind of organically in creator businesses because there are many couples. You could step all the way into like family vlogging and it's a whole, you're technically a show of your whole family so that you see tons of couples. But if they're, if it's not working, the kind of people who DM you, is there any hope? What are your next three moves to get out of to at least try to say, okay, hard conversations, whatever it is, to get out.
I look at it as pay now or pay later. If you do not have the conversation, then you set yourself up for resentment because it's not working for either of you. And so when there's a discrepancy in value contributed in any relationship, one person resents the other. And so I think resentment is the number one killer of a marriage. And in my opinion, I would do anything to avoid that, including any short-term hard conversation. I think you just have to ask yourself, if I do not have this conversation, what does my life look like in 5 years? What does my marriage look like in 5 years? And the likelihood that this person magically becomes the best partner ever on their own volition without you trying to coerce them into doing so is probably pretty low. And so I think you have to, honestly, you have to be honest with yourself, which is like this problem that you've been avoiding, the reason your business probably isn't growing, that you continue to let year after year or month after month fester, you need to confront it. And if you actually gave a shit about your marriage, you would do it now. Because if you want a chance at a long-term, strong marriage, then you have to confront those conversations in the present. And so I just look at it like that, which is like, in the long run, is this going to make my life, my business, my marriage better or worse? And if there's a short-term, like local cost, but global cost is actually, it's going to improve, I would make that trade all day. And I think a lot of people are just, they're constantly, I would say like trading short-term comfort for long-term dysfunction, both in their businesses and in their marriages. And so you just have to shift the frame in your mind. Every time you choose short-term comfort in your marriage or in your business partnership, you're also setting yourself up for long-term dysfunction and you will not achieve your goals. And so I think people need to be real with themselves about it. Because instead, what they do is they tell these stories. They're like, oh, no, she's going to change or he's going to change. He's going to figure it out. He's going to do that. No, this is bullshit. Like, it hasn't changed for 2 years. So what is likely to happen is what has happened. All we have is evidence. We cannot bet on someone's potential. And so if we want to make a change, and if you're going to do it eventually, you might as well do it now. I don't know, except for that people don't have a sense of urgency about wasting their life and efforts.
Let's talk about brand. You are very intentional at building acquisition.com's brand. Alex is building his brand. You're building your brand. And you are very thoughtful about the power of brand. What do you think the importance of brand is in business and in this social media content creation space? And let's take it here, in this guru space.
It's interesting you said that, because like as you're saying it, something's running through my head, which is like, I put all of my effort into being a company worthy of a good brand. I do not put a lot of effort into thinking about what comes out on the other side. Because I think that when I look at a company's brand, I think of just displaying to the external world what exists internally. Same with a personal brand. Like, I think that the more that I work on myself and I'm proud of who I am, the better I will show up in content, because I'm proud to make the content, because I'm proud of who I am. You know, the more effort that I put into building an amazing team, culture, and business, the more I'm going to want to talk about it because I'm proud of it. And so I actually think that if people put more effort into, I would say, like the product rather than the marketing, they would have an easier time building their brand for themselves or their business, because you can make claims that are true versus trying to dress up something, like trying to put lipstick on a pig. And I think a lot of people are trying to put lipstick on a pig. And it's like, why don't you just go do the hard work? And then it makes it easy. You know what I mean?